speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
As you look to your life, the type of person that you are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? As we think about optimism and pessimism, I first want us to think in regard to what these terms mean. A pessimist is one who expects the worst outcome in any circumstance. They look to life or they look to the things that are going on in the world, and as they see it, it's all from a negative standpoint. The glass is never half full with these individuals, but rather it's half empty. As they look to the things that are going on, they can't see any positive, or if it is positive, they can't see much positive coming about in their life or in circumstances that they might be made aware of. An optimist, on the other hand, is an individual who believes that ultimately good will prevail over evil. They look at things from a more positive point of view. They look to their life, and while they may be facing challenges in life, in reality they say that things are going to get better. As they look to the glass, they do not see that it's half full, but rather, or half empty, they see that it's half full and that it's only going to be filled up and it's only going to get better. We deal with negative more so in life than what we do with positive. Take into consideration, as we turn on our television, it's hard for us to find, as Christians, really and truly, anything that we can watch and that we can say amen to. But also think not only in regard to the programs that we watch, what about the news? As we look to the news, I believe that we find pessimism on an ongoing basis. The news media dwells on the negative things that are going on in life. Take into consideration terrorism over in the Middle East and the threat of terrorism here. And we certainly need to be made aware of those things. But as you turn on the television, it seems like that's all that we hear is what's going on with ISIS and those fears that are to come in upon the United States. What about also the shootings going on throughout the world and the shootings going on in Chicago and the corruption in Washington, D.C. from the White House and various other angles? Seldom do we hear the news reporting on the positives, the Good Samaritans, those individuals who go out of the way to do good. Where are those reports in comparison to the reports that we have coming in on a daily basis that deal with things from a negative standpoint? But also think about the weatherman. The meteorologist, when they give the weather forecast, they will say that there is a 20% chance of rain. Now, if you've gone without rain as long as we have, we want the percentages to be much higher, right? But as they look to the percentages, they dwell on what most would look to as the negative aspect of that. Oh, there's a 20% chance of rain. Well, what about the 80% chance of sunshine? Amen? What about the positives that's going to take place as a result of the weather that God is bringing in upon us? But friends, also, what about the Lord's church? Oftentimes with members of the body of Christ, we will have our naysayers that say it can't be done. When it comes to evangelism, they will say is that people aren't as interested as what they used to be. When it comes to knocking on doors, people will say that that doesn't work anymore. And in fact, as long as I've lived, I'm 48 years of age, and I can remember as a young boy and people talking about knocking on doors for evangelistic outreach, and those of that age, whenever I was just a young boy, saying, it doesn't work anymore. Friends, it did work, and I believe that it can still work today. When it comes not only to outreach, but when it comes to projects, works of the church, and opportunities that God lays upon us and that we must be involved with and that we ought to be excited about, so many people say it can't be done or that it will fail. We deal with negativism all over and from every part of life. But today I tell you that God expects His people to be optimistic. God wants us to be positive. Now, in stating that, I'm not saying that He wants us to look at the world and our lives and the circumstances of life through rose-colored glasses. He certainly wants us to deal with realistic things from a realistic standpoint. But at the same time, I believe that God wants us to be positive people. He expects us to be optimistic. What about Christ? Whenever Jesus Christ was here, He faced all kinds of negatives, and this could have impacted His life and could have made Him indeed a very negative individual. Take into consideration His own people. He was a Jew. God established the Jews as His chosen people for bringing the Messiah, Jesus, into the world. And the Jews understood that, is that they were the people of God and that the Messiah, the Savior, was going to come through God's promise of them as His people. And as Jesus came into the world and as He began His personal ministry, how did the Jews act in regard to Him? The Scripture tells us that He came to His own and His own did not receive Him. Can you imagine how Jesus must have felt from a human standpoint? This rejection by His own people. And friends, it didn't end there. What about the Jewish leaders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees? These individuals were the leaders of the day. They should have known about the Lord. They were expecting the Messiah to come. But as we look in regard to the way in which these people looked to Christ, they were not pleased with Him being the Messiah. And they were not excited about the fact of Him being the Savior of the world and the King of Israel. And the Scripture tells us that whenever He taught them, is that they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do with Jesus. They wanted to destroy Him. They wanted to kill Him. Jesus could have looked at that and He could have developed a very negative attitude about them and a very negative attitude about life. But friends, also think in regard to the disciples. The disciples were the 12 original that He chose to work with and who would ultimately serve Him after He died at Calvary's cross with the proclamation of the good news, the saving grace that God offers through the Christ. And Jesus loved these men, and there's no doubt that they loved Him. But the Scripture tells us that they struggled from time to time, not only with the things that He taught, but they struggled to understand really and truly who He was. And on one particular occasion in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 66, Jesus has taught a multitude of people. And that multitude of people, they can't handle what it is that He has taught them. And certainly He's taught them truth, but it goes contrary to what they want in life. And the Scripture tells us that these individuals turned and walked away from the Lord. And friends, it wasn't only those of the world who walked away from Christ at that given time. The Scripture tells us that many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. What about His family? The Scripture tells us that even His family struggled with disbelief and treated Him illy from time to time. Even His brothers, John chapter 7 and verse 1 and following tells us, even His brothers did not believe in Him. Imagine how He must have felt. Can you just think for a moment that the wheels are turning in His mind and He's been rejected by His own? The Jewish leaders of the day are seeking opportunity to kill Him, to destroy Him. The disciples have turned and walked with Him no more. And His brothers have challenged Him, if You are indeed the Messiah, come out. And why did they say that? Not because they believed in Him, but rather because they did not believe in Him. And Jesus could have used all of those things to have turned to a negative standpoint in life. But friends, He did not. Our Lord and Savior remained optimistic. He remained optimistic about His own work. When it came to what Jesus came here to this world to represent and to do, the Scripture tells us time and time again, John chapter 4 and verse 34, John 6 and 38, He came to do the will of our Heavenly Father, to do the food of that which He had been sent to do. And Jesus did not let up on that focus. He did not allow the negative of the day to pull Him down, but rather He continued to do the will of God without end until He died at Calvary's cross. Friends, also, whenever it came to His own future, He didn't allow things to get Him down. He knew that God would allow him to die on the cross by those same individuals who were very negative towards him, by his own people, his own brethren, who despised, hated, and wanted him dead. He realized all of that, but he also understood the one that he was serving. He was serving the Most High God, his Father in heaven. And he also understood that as a result of his death, that he would be glorified as the Father now is glorified in his death. And he understood without any question that as he laid his life down, that he would also take it again. That's a positive statement that Christ says in regard to his death on the cross. Even in death, he's looking at things in an optimistic manner. Think about the church, the Lord's church. Whenever Jesus Christ came to this world, not only did he come to die for the sins of mankind, to give us a means or a way of redemption, friends, he also came to establish the church, the kingdom, the ecclesia, the called out body of Christ. And note what he says in the book of John, or Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, as he has confronted the apostles in regard to who men were saying that he is. Peter answers and says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And he says, "I say unto you that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it." There's a lot in those verses, amen? And as we look to the things that are stated therein, to begin with, he says that I'm going to build my church, singular, possessive pronoun, one church he was going to establish. And friends, he did, and that church still exists today. How do we know? Because he says the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against us. He realized that the Jews were not going to receive him, nor were they going to be receptive of the church in the very beginning. Now, certainly 3,000 put Christ on in the day in which the Lord's church began. But if you look at the whole, they did not receive the church. And in fact, they attacked the body of Christ on an ongoing basis. And that, friends, was not only a work of the people of that day, that was also the undermining work of the devil himself. And Jesus said that not even Hades will be able to destroy it. He knew that the church was going to stand the test of time and will continue to stand even until the day in which our Lord Himself returns. This also excites me. He was very optimistic whenever it came to not only the disciples He had at that time, about the future disciples who would come. He realized that through Him, conjoined with their love for Him, faith in Him, and desire to please Him in life, is that He would be able to give them life more abundantly. We are blessed most certainly to be able to be a part of this life and to have the blessings that God bestows upon us as our connection to this life. But friends, the greatest aspect that you and I are able to enjoy in this life is as Christians to know that we do have life, spiritual life in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus was optimistic. He was very upbeat, positive, knowing that He was going to be the one to bring forth this life, an abundance of life through the forgiveness of sin, and then also to give us hope. Hope not only in this life, but hope as we will stand before God in judgment someday as God's faithful children. Our Lord was very optimistic when it came to every aspect of His life and the life in regard to Christians. He was not alone. I believe that His Spirit also rubbed off on others. One, namely, the Apostle Paul. Think about the Apostle Paul. Paul struggled with so many things. Friends, you and I think that we have troubles. Read about this man's struggles in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 and following. This man dealt with so many things because he was a Christian. He didn't only deal with the things that the world laid upon him because of his life here in this world, but he dealt with things because of what he was trying to do for the Lord. And you and I face all kinds of different things in life, but I think that they fail in comparison to what Christ, or with what the Apostle Paul went through. And when Paul looked at the things that he dealt with for the cause of Christ, how did he see it? He told those at Corinth, he says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." He found strength through the trials that he faced. That's optimism, isn't it? That's looking at life in a very positive way. He could have easily said, "Woe is me. Look at all that I've dealt with. Look at all my troubles." But he did not. He says, "I see the blessings associated with all of the trials that I've gone through and will go through." And he says, "When I am weak, then I am able to gain strength as a result of these things." And where did he find the source of his strength? Note what he says to the saints at Philippi. He says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He knew that he would be required to go through it individually by himself, but he also understood that he could turn to God through Christ, and that Christ would always be there to hear him, to direct him, and to lift him up as he was going through the trials that he faced. But also think about the work he was doing as a gospel preacher. In regard to those at Rome, he says, "For I am ready to preach the gospel of Christ, of Jesus Christ. I am ready." That's positive, isn't it? Granted, all that he's gone through, he could have easily said, "Boy, I'm a little reluctant today. I've stood in front of these individuals in the synagogue and they just don't really care." But he doesn't say that. He says, "I am ready. I am enthused. I count it a privilege. I see the honor. I see the blessing of being able to preach Christ, and therefore I am ready at any given time, in any crowd, to be able to stand and to proclaim my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Why? Because he saw himself as a debtor. That's the context here of Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through verse 16. And then also, what about those at Thessalonica? As he dealt with those in Thessalonica in regard to the first epistle that he wrote, he says that they are to rejoice always. And friends, not only did Paul want those in Thessalonica to rejoice always, he wants us to rejoice always. Why? Because he also was rejoicing always. He was a very optimistic individual, and today God expects you and me to be optimistic. He wants us to be upbeat. He expects us to be positive with regard to our relationship with Him. Why? Why should we be optimistic? Why should we be positive people? Because we have God working with us at all times. Yes, He has so much work for us to do, and we must be involved in that work. But at the same time, we need to understand that we are not going alone. He is with us. Jesus promised us this in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," or the end of the age. God sends us on the path. He has a mission, a journey for us, plans for us in regard to the work of the church. And friends, He is working with us to give us strength and direction as we march on. But also we need to be optimistic to understand is that the Lord's church, members of the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ will feed off of our attitude. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, we read, "As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friends." We feed off of one another from a positive standpoint. And therefore, if one is positive, then likely others are going to be positive. Yet at the same time, if someone is negative, they're more apt to bring everyone else down. And therefore, we need to understand that we need to be positive for ourselves and our relationship with God, but also because we affect other people. We affect our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if God wants us to be optimistic, if God wants us to be positive as a congregation, then I've got to do my part and you've got to do your part of helping to bring forth that positive atmosphere within the body of Christ collectively. But at the same time, I believe the Scripture also identifies to us is that people aspire to be around optimistic people, specifically Christians. People want to be around those who are positive. Paul wanted to be around those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they were positive. They were indeed people who loved the Lord. And their faith had gone out. abroad in regard to their love, not only for Paul, but their love for the Lord. And Paul wanted so much to be able to be a part of that. And the Scripture tells us that also he sent Timothy, that Timothy would be able to give a report in regard to him, as well as that he would be able to bring a report back in regard to them. He wanted so much for these brethren to do well, and also he fed off of them. As I can't help but believe that they, in like figure, would have fed off of him. We feed off of each other, and therefore let's not look at things from a negative angle, but let's look at things from a positive point of view each and every day of our life. But also a reason for us to be positive, friends, is because life is too short and eternity is too long for negativism. There should not be negative that controls our life. I know that it plays a part of life. But friends, it should not be that controlling factor in our lives. I'm 48 years of age. And the older I get, the more I realize that life is short. And that life is going to end someday. And I may not make it till 60, 70 years of age or older. Today may be my last day. And can you imagine ending life on a negative note and people to remember that? To remember you by that? I don't want that in my life. Not with you, not with my family, not with anyone. And in like figure, I don't want that with you. I want us to be positive people and to be able to be remembered by our positive attitude and because of our positive works in and amongst the body of Christ and because of the positive things that we're doing to glorify our God. But also eternity is too long. Eternity is without end. And if we do not live our lives positively towards God and generate the good, the blessings in life that God expects us to do, then friends, we're going to be lost eternally. And wouldn't it be terrible to be lost eternally because we were a pessimist versus an optimist? It's possible for that to be the case. And I don't want that with my life nor with yours. In our lives, we need to be optimistic when it comes to our life. With all that we face in life, we need to be upbeat about. But not only with us, when it comes to our fellow man, we certainly see the negatives that are going on in their lives, and let's work to be a blessing in their life, to bring forth good to their life, and to help them see the positives maybe that are there, and if it's not there, that can be there. Let's help to draw those things out or to insert those things in their life. But in like figure, when it comes to the church, when it comes to our relationship with one another, let's be positive, optimistic, let's be upbeat in regard to the way in which we talk about and deal with each other, but also when it comes to working in the church. Let's not stand back and watch others do it, but rather let's say, I want to get involved. I want to do what I can to help build the body of Christ, both spiritually as well as numerically. But also, let's be like Christ. As we look to our life ending here in this world someday, let's be optimistic with the hope that God has given us in Christ. To know that it's not like the atheists, the skeptics, those who are negative. Look at life. We have hope beyond this life in the resurrection someday. As Christ was resurrected from the grave by the power and the glory of God, in like figure, you and I, as faithful Christians, shall be in that day that Jesus Christ returns. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? I hope and pray that you're an optimist. At the same time, if you're dealing with negativism in your life, look to the positive ways in which it can come about to good, not only for you, but also for others, family, church, and even in the world. And let's use our lives always to the honor and to the glory of our God. If you're here this morning, you're outside of the body of Christ, we want you to know that God has a positive prepared for you in Jesus Christ. God has given His Son to die at Calvary's cross so that you, who are outside, might be able to have your sins washed away through the watery grave of baptism, that you would then be able to be raised to walk in newness of life. And God expects you in doing that to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. If you're here this morning and you are an erring member of the body, we want you to know that we love you, God loves you, and we want so much for you to be back in a right relationship with God. And therefore today, if you want to come forward and to confess your sin, we will pray with you and for you that God will forgive you and that you will be restored back as one of His faithful children. Today, if we can help you, please come.